Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
My coworker Wanda and I are sitting in front of an HP Media Smart computer.
Well, first of all, April, I think you just engaged in a big generalization.
I don't think most senators believe this is okay.
I do think it's a good idea because I think it's too long for passengers to wait.
Where's my retarded baby?
Your wife said the same thing.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's bring on Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Phil Hendry Show brought to you by, are we on the air?
Yeah, go ahead.
This portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Sorry, Ted, we had a little bit of a line problem there. Ted Bell joins us here on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And Ted, welcome to the program. As a regular sponsor of our program, I know that... you appreciate coming on the show from time to time. I didn't know that there was an issue that personally affected you in Beverly Hills, and it's an interesting one because we have this every year, it seems, controversy about whether or not there's going to be a manger scene or there's going to be some other religious display having to do with Christmas in a public park, in a public square, or otherwise a public place that is paid for, maintained with the public's monies. But you're taking you've joined people taking a pretty hard stand on this there in Roxbury Park, Beverly Hills, right?
That is absolutely right, Bill. Roxbury Park, people who come through the Beverly Hills area, you know Roxbury Park. It's right on the left-hand side as you're coming off the 405 and you're making your way through Century City and you get into Beverly Hills. And we had a manger scene, and this is the nativity scene. It's very, very traditional for the Christmas holidays. And I'm like a lot of people, and you and I have talked about this, Phil. I like the tradition of Christmas. While I may not be the most religious man myself, I do, and my wife, Marcy, we see to it that our son has a religious training and has a religious background. But I'm not here to shove my religion down anybody's throat. But I do think there comes a time when you have to back off a little bit and let the communities be the communities that they are, let people be the people that they are, and not nitpick every single solitary religious display around the holiday seasons because there is this claim, which I think is very interesting, about being, you know, brainwashed into religion.
Well, I got to tell you, you and I share this opinion. I agree with you. I'm not very religious either, but I think that it's more of a statement of culture, you know.
Well, I agree with that. Here in Beverly Hills, where one would think we have a high number of people who are so moneyed, they're sort of their god is money, but that's not the case. That's not the case at all. I've got a restaurant here. I've got a steakhouse. I'm Ted Bell. People know me in this area. And we are a very community-oriented city, and we do like to see these traditional expressions of religion in Beverly Hills. And yet, the city council and some of these people that I happen to think are not real residents of Beverly Hills, I think they come in from the conservative, more liberal areas of Los Angeles area, like Hollywood, or they're coming in from some parts of L.A. City proper, are making an issue out of this manger scene, this nativity scene, and I'm putting my foot down as a local merchant. I'm supporting it, and I don't want this nativity scene moved. I've told them that I have a personal stake in it, that I have a personal, as the old saying goes, do I have a dog in this fight? You better believe I got a dog in this fight, and that dog's name is Jesus. And again, I'm not religious. I'm not Jewish, although we have a high... And that's the other thing. Here in Beverly Hills, we have a high number of Jewish people, and yet they are supporting this.
So do you identify any individuals who are opposed to this?
Well, there's some people in Beverly Hills City politics who pay lip service to this, and you mentioned it, Phil. Every year, there isn't a year that goes by that we don't have somebody saying, oh, you know, you got a separation of church and state, separation of church and state. No, I represent a lot of people listening to your program right now. I know I speak for you. I speak for a lot of people. When I say we want to be able to have these manger scenes and these nativity scenes, and we want to have the opportunity to have them, a businessman like myself, I get great value out of that. And we will not back down to these so-called atheists and so-called agnostics. I don't even think they could spell atheist or agnostic. That's how much they really understand what that is. And we won't back down, and we're going to keep our manger scene here in Beverly Hills.
You talk about the opportunity as a businessman. In what sense do you mean?
Well, the opportunity to really connect with the neighborhood, to connect with the city, and say, I am a member of this city, I'm a member of the business community, I live in Beverly Hills, my wife and I and our son, we live in Beverly Hills, and that opportunity to be a part of this community, to be a part of this city, to say, we want to see this beautiful emblem, this beautiful symbol of Christmas in our Roxbury Park, in our city park, and be able to connect that way. I can connect directly that way,
When you're there talking to people, and
but they've told us we can't do it. They've told me I can't connect. Where do they get off telling me, the Beverly Hills City Council telling me that I don't have the right to go down to a nativity scene?
Are they telling you, or are they just telling the city, or telling the people of the city, or telling whoever it is that put this? Who put the nativity scene up?
Well, I did. I put it up, and they immediately told me it was unacceptable. And I said, go ahead and tell me all about your separation of church and state. I'll challenge you in court right now that this is a cultural expression, just as you were saying, Phil, of the city. And they said it is, they said it was an obscenity. And I said, boy, you have...
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. They called it an obscenity.
They called the manger scene of Jesus an obscenity.
Pretty much. Pretty much they did, yeah.
Well, I mean, did they use those words?
They used those words about one of the areas of the manger. That's the thing that I was leading up to. Because what you have is a businessman, me. I'm Ted Bell. People know who I am in this community. And so I put the manger scene up. We have a sign, a little piece of advertising that talks about, you know, coming to the restaurant, you know, after you see the baby Jesus, come on over and have a steak. They called me, they called it a defilement.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't know. You have advertising?
No. We don't have... It's not advertising. We have a sign. You know, this manger scene is being provided by Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we invite you to join us for dinner. That's got nothing to do with what Beverly Hills is talking. They don't want... They called Jesus, a baby Jesus, they called it an obscenity.
I want to be just clear here, Ted, because I support you. Understand.
I know you do, Phil, and I appreciate that very much.
All right. But are you said that the Beverly Hills City Council called the manger scene an obscenity, right?
They might as well have, yes, sir.
Well, see, when you say they might as well have, because you're kind of qualified, are they saying that the sign...
They're saying to me that I got no right. I'll tell you that I have the right as a Beverly Hills businessman...
No, but were they complaining about the sign?
They're saying to me that I got to take the manger scene down because they don't like religion. And
well, all right, so they didn't mention anything about your sign.
That's all part of the manger scene. They want the manger scene down.
If I could, do they want the whole manger scene down or just the sign?
Well, they're asking me... Well, I think you're off the point. The point is they have expressed this disgust with a baby Jesus and a woman named Mary at a beautiful night 2,000 years ago when the baby was born. And they
so they're disgusted with that?
With my belief in it, yes.
All right. See, what I'm hearing you tell me is they don't like the sign.
Well, they told me they don't like... again, if you're getting off the point, they don't like the sign, no.
What does your sign say?
The sign says, because you know that the sign says, you know, Ted Zabella, when you're done, and I have to get the exact wording because I didn't put the sign up, but it's basically some advertisers to banner when you're done here. I think it's something you're either done here or when you're finished looking at the baby Jesus, when you're done with the baby Jesus, come on over and have a prime rib that's the size of a baby Jesus. But I don't think we said baby Jesus.
You don't really say that, do you?
No, we don't, but I think there's something in there. We changed the banner rotates. And there was one that we did change. It said, come on over and have a primer the size of a baby. And my wife thought that was probably a little much, so we changed that out.
So were we trying to be funny?
We were trying, yeah, a little humorous, yeah.
Well, all right, so is that what Beverly Hills objected to? Because what we're talking about here, Ted, is a major scene that you've sponsored that the Beverly Hills City Council wants taken out of Roxbury Park because you say they are enforcing a separation of church and state. But they also have a problem with your sign.
I think they have a problem with people that believe in Christmas. And
well, they told you to take the sign down, huh?
They told me to take down the sign. The thing that you're missing is without me, there's no manger scene. So for them to tell me to take a sign down, I'm going to take the whole manger out of there. Because without me, there would have been no manger scene in Roxbury Park.
But Ted, you're saying if you take that sign down, if they force you to take the sign, they'd take the whole manger scene out.
Yeah. I'm Ted Bell. So you got to remember, my family represented this town.
But you admit that having a sign up that says, after you see the baby Jesus, come on and have a prime rib the size of the baby Jesus.
That was a little bit in bad taste, but we were trying to lighten the mood because, after all, you're looking at a baby being born. This is an emblem of a baby that's being born. That in 33 years, this little tiny baby in 33 years would be bloodied, tortured, and hanging from a cross. So we needed to lighten the mood. And that's why we said, see the baby Jesus, eat a prime rib the size of a baby Jesus. But we rotated that sign out of there.
What about you taking the sign down and leaving the manger there?
Well, that's not an option. I don't understand why you bring that up.
I tell you what, I got to take a break. Our number is 877.
No, but I would like to discuss that because I don't think that's appropriate for you to bring up in light of the fact that I sponsor this segment.
I understand that, Ted, but I think it's necessary to talk about it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, a steakhouse in Beverly Hills that has sponsored a manger scene in Roxbury Park, Beverly Hills, that also features advertising for his steakhouse. And what I'm getting is the Beverly Hills City Council wants him to take his sign down. They don't want to remove the manger scene. They want to take the sign down. Ted says, essentially, they're saying, get the manger scene out of there because he's going to get rid of it if they force him to take his advertising down. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. We'll be right back.
No, you're butchering it all up.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, I got to start all over again with you.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, the slow roasted prime rib. I can't even begin to describe it. You got to come down and have it. Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
On Rodeo Drive.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
You're not on Rodeo Drive, are you?
No, we're not. But Rodeo Drive is the only road that people know outside of Beverly Hills. They think of Rodeo Drive. So we just say Rodeo Drive. Now, when people come into town to look for Ted's, everyone knows where it is. I'm Ted Bell. And that pretty much is all you need to say. But
all right, well, I want to get back to him. We're going to get to some phone calls. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I know there's got to be a lot of people agreeing with the idea that we want a manger. You know, people like that. It's not, no one wants to violate the Constitution. We just want to see, the baby Jesus. But you had commercial signs that the Beverly Hills City Council told you to take down. So that's really what they're asking. They're not asking you to take the manger scene out of there. They're asking you to take out the signage. That
No. When they tell me to take my signage down, they're basically telling me, get that manger out of here. That's what they're saying. Because the my advertising and the manger scene, there's no separating them. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because let me explain something, Phil, to not to you, because I know you understand, but maybe some members of your audience. You know, and I think a lot of people know, that there wouldn't, you know, if it wasn't for advertisers and commercial interests, restaurants, department stores, we wouldn't know when Christmas even fell in the calendar year. We would blow through the year. If it wasn't for business people like me, we'd blow completely through the year, and it'd be the middle of January before somebody woke up and said, is this Christmas, or I forget, you know.
And, well, come on, you really believe that?
Do I really believe it? Yes, I believe it, because there is no Christmas without the commercial interests of this country reminding people it's Christmas, here's our Christmas sale. So when you say to me, take my signage off, that's like saying, take the baby Jesus out of the manger and roll it out into the middle of Santa Monica Boulevard and have a truck run it over.
Come on. I don't think the two things are tied together.
You don't think that? I'm the guy. I'm Ted Bell. I put that manger scene in that park. When the Beverly Hills City Council tells me I can't have a sign.
What did the sign say? Something about saviors?
No, I said, again, you got to remember, when you're thinking of the birth of Jesus and the crucifixion, you've got to keep it light. So he said, 100% of 100% of our saviors love Ted's porterhouse. And the Beverly Hills City Council didn't like that. I said, fine, we rotate the sign out. We'll change it. And they said, just get it out of here. I said, so in other words, you hate God. And that's when we had a war.
Well, you're saying to them, you hate God because you don't want my signs up.
No, I'm not. You're not getting my point.
You're saying that they hate God if they don't want Ted Bell.
I'm saying they hate God because they don't want my sign, which means they don't want Jesus, which means they hate God. Yeah.
All right, I got to talk to you about how you make that connection, Ted. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Julie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. We're talking about this manger scene in Roxbury Park, Beverly Hills. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi. Actually, the manger scene thing is a great idea. It's just a sign.
Absolutely.
That I'm mad about. All you have to do is make it really simple. The manger scene was provided by whatever your restaurant is, and that's it. And that will pique people's interest in to the restaurant and want to go there to thank you for providing a beautiful scene for them.
That's pretty much all we did. I mean,
but you had a sign that said, do you want a prime rib the size of the baby Jesus?
Well, what's wrong with that? I don't understand. I think the lady's saying, I agree with her. Well, that's all we did. We put a sign up that said...
Yeah, but anything saying with... prime rib as big as baby Jesus, that's out of case. That's that's just wrong.
Well, I can tell the young lady that I've been in business, for over 20 years, and you can't sell a business unless you sell what you're...
Well, can't you say Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse?
Doesn't mean anything. I might as well say Sizzler Steakhouse. You got to say Ted's a Beverly Hills is providing... I said, and they didn't want to do it. I said, is providing God today, and they thought that was in bad taste. I said, okay. But I wanted to hook it into the manger somehow. So I said, Tents of Beverly Hills presents Jesus Christ. Come on in for a drink. And I don't see anything wrong.
Julie, what do you think of that song?
You shouldn't advertise anything like that. It should just be simple. Just the steakhouse, and that's who provided it, and that's it.
Nobody is going to know what we do there.
If you say that you have a steakhouse...
If it's a steakhouse, they're going to know it's a steakhouse.
No, I understand that. But every restaurant that advertises their restaurant, they tell you something about... It doesn't do any good. People out at the Beverly Hills Steakhouse, they're going to be looking at that. Because we have a lot of people... Everybody in Beverly Hills knows my steakhouse. But people coming in from outside of the city are going to say, big deal. So we had a rotating banner with what we thought were cute sayings about... Now that you've seen Jesus, you probably need a drink. All right, they didn't like that.
Why all the cute lines about Jesus and a drink? And
what do you mean, why all the cute? I thought the two of you, I'm talking to this lady, Julie, and you, I thought you guys agreed with me.
We do agree with you, but the idea of now that you've seen Jesus, you probably need a drink, it probably offends people.
Who?
The people that like the manger scene.
Everybody.
So wait a minute, I made that manger scene possible. I did. And now people are complaining to me. They should complain to the Beverly Hills City Council for wanting to take it down. I'm Ted.
No, they don't want you to take
it
down.
I'm Ted Bell.
They just want to make the sign tasteful.
It says Ted Bell. That's tasteful enough.
Phil Hendry.
What happened?
We're going into a commercial.
Park here if you're in the Beverly Hills area to see our beautiful manger scene, and once you've seen the baby Jesus and satisfied your soul, satisfy your hunger at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
We're not really on Rodeo Drive, but I didn't explain that.
Yeah, that's an interesting, but you're not really on Rodeo Drive.
No, we're not on Rodeo Drive. We're on Dayton, but if I say we're on Dayton in Beverly Hills, no one understands that. So I say Rodeo Drive, they think of Gucci, they think of all of the famous stores, and I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about, Phil.
No, but I want to get back. We're going to get to some phone calls at 877-876-PHIL, but I want to get back to this question of why it is, and forgive me if I'm being redundant, you can't accede to the Beverly Hills City Council wishes that you remove these signs that they apparently find tasteless.
Well, see, I wanted to avoid this. Asking me not to advertise my restaurant...
No, it's not that. It's that you're putting slogans on there like, you know, the prime rib's as big as a baby Jesus.
No. Hold on for a minute. That's what they're asking me to stop doing. They're asking me to just put a sign up that says Ted's of Beverly Hills. I have a rotating electric sign. We change the slogans on it. When you ask me, Ted, I'm Ted Bell, okay?
Right.
Well, you remember the outdoor campaign we did 4 years ago. I had a billboard on the 405, and it had me leaning against the hood of my red BMW and the words... I'm Ted Bell. Do you realize I didn't have to put Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse? I didn't have to put a phone number. I didn't have to put the address. It was me with my arms folded across my chest, wearing a red baseball cap, a sweater tied around my neck, tennis shorts, and I'm wearing knee socks, and I'm leaning against my BMW with the license plate that says I'm Ted Bell, and in big, bold red letters it said, I'm Ted Bell. We had great business from that in our restaurant. People knew, right? So when you ask me not to advertise, that's like asking Walt Disney to make Pluto talk. Pluto didn't talk, Goofy talked. And
so you're saying, though, that if they tell you to take the signs down, they hate religion.
They obviously want the manger scene gone. They talk a good game, but they can't stand the idea of having Jesus being born in Beverly Hills. I don't know what their problem is. But I told them, I said, you're not going to defile religion. And they turn around and said, I was doing that. And I said, I'm the guy. If it wasn't for Ted Bell, there'd be no manger scene here. You wouldn't see Jesus being born here or anywhere else.
Now, they said to me there was a sign, Jesus Christ, I need a drink?
That was part of the rotating sign is above the manger, and it rotates electrically. And one of them is, it says, Jesus Christ with an arrow pointing down at the... Excuse me. It's an arrow pointing down at the manger. And then it turns again, and it says Jesus Christ with an arrow pointing, so people know that we're talking about what's, you know, in the manger. And then it turns again, and says, I need a drink at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted, I can certainly understand why they find that tasteless.
Then you, I'm going to remind you, I'm a sponsor on your program, okay?
All right, that's fine, but it sounds, I don't know, man, it just doesn't sound right. Here's Ron on the Phil Hendry Show. Ron, you're on with Ted Bell. And welcome to the program, sir. What can we do for you?
Well, he had me on his side until he got to the sign part. If the sign just said sponsored by Ted Bales of Beverly Hills, then, or the name of the restaurant, then I was
That's essentially what it says. That's what it says, sir. That's essentially what it says. That's all.
I'm sorry. I was thinking it had other advertisements with it, not just the name of the restaurant.
It does, Ted. Tell him.
Mr. Henry is making a bigger issue, I think, out of the fact that we had a slogan that said, and we took this one down, it said, now that you've seen the baby Jesus, have some prime rib as big as the baby Jesus at Ted's Beverly Hills. But we don't do that one anymore.
No, but you still have the one that says, Jesus Christ, do I need a drink?
This gentleman called up to support me, and now you're trying to throw poison in the well.
Oh, I don't support you. I don't support you. You lost me the moment I heard about
you. You don't support Jesus and his birth.
No, the man is.
I support your reason for putting. Well, no, I don't. I support you putting the sign, not the sign. I support you putting the nativity scene out there if you put it out there for the true reason of what it represents. But I don't support you using it as a form of advertisement for your restaurant. You've already said that if you had to take your advertisement for your restaurant down, you would also do away with the nativity scene. So obviously,
the nativity scene
is not your true purpose. The advertisement is your true purpose.
With all due respect, you're wrong. You realize that it wasn't.
I'm going by what you said.
Yes, sir. And I'm saying, if it wasn't for me, Ted Bell, there wouldn't be a nativity scene there. See, I'm the guy that put it there. And in many
you can leave the nativity scene there, but you have to take your advertisement down, what would you do?
I would say to them what I'm saying to you. So you hate Jesus and everything he stood for.
They don't hate Jesus, or they don't hate Jesus. Leave the nativity scene there.
Exactly. They would leave the nativity scene there.
No, they're leaving the nativity scene there, and what they're asking me. Let me ask you this, sir. May I ask you, sir, are you Jewish?
No.
Because you've... Well, I don't get that, then.
Why does he have to be Jewish?
He doesn't get Christianity. Look, the Beverly Hills City Council has asked me with a smile on their face to rape myself, and I'm not going to do it.
What do you mean, rape yourself?
They're telling me that my sign, my advertising, very simple advertising...
Ted, you've got a rotating sign that's electrically controlled like they have at ballparks. One of them says, Jesus Christ, do I need a drink? Another one says, 100% of saviors love our porterhouse.
Yeah? Oh. Let me just say to this gentleman here, sir, without the merchants and commercial interests of America, you know there would have been... There'd be no Christmas. Christmas was no big deal until... The merchants of the world got a hold of it and said, hey, this is important.
Well, I know Christmas wasn't commercialized until the merchants got a hold of it.
Yeah, but before we got a hold of it, no one cared whether Jesus was born. They didn't know where he was born. They didn't know what date he was born on.
I cared.
You mean you lived back in the 1300s? I don't get it.
No, he's saying that this is the religious...
And you're not
I don't have to live back in the 1300s. And I can turn stuff around and make it anything I want it to be, too, just like you can, but I choose not to.
I'm trying to tell you that if it wasn't for me, Ted Bell, and merchants like me...
No, you're trying to into an advertisement for your restaurant.
Exactly. By saying that you're responsible for it.
Phil, I'm telling you and this caller, if it wasn't for me and merchants like myself, it would be April before Ron here suddenly said, oh, wow. I miss Christmas, and we are...
Well, I don't buy that. I don't think this gentleman does either. Ron, thank you very much.
No, but Ron, what synagogue do you go to? Seriously.
He's not Jewish.
What synagogue do you go to,
I don't go to a synagogue. I'm not Jewish.
Well, I can't feature that.
I don't understand. The man was asking perfectly legitimate questions.
And he's not a Jew. Now, there's something wrong.
No, thank you very much, Ron. Good calls. 877's good call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Brittany. Brittany is listening to us in Louisville, Kentucky tonight. Brittany, how you doing? Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. What can we do for you?
I love your show, Phil. I listen to it every morning on the way to work.
Thank you.
And I was calling to say I'm an atheist, and listening to the things that are on his sign, I even find that offensive. Like, I'm not even religious at all, and that I can understand why people would find those little sayings offensive.
Wait a minute. If you're an atheist, which basically means you don't care about God, then why would you care that I'm selling? I'm trying to make a nice dollar here. That's all I'm trying to do.
You're doing
well.
Ted,
I mean,
like,
the thing is I may be an atheist, but I am also sympathetic to people who are religious, and I can totally see why they would get upset about what's on your sign.
Right. I think this is a fair question, and forgive me, but if you say you're an atheist, you must be a Jew then, right?
Why are you bringing that up? I don't understand that.
Because I don't get what's going on with these people. See, listen to her laughing. She thinks it's funny. She thinks the idea that I've got a stake sign, which I would think that she'd be in support of.
As an atheist, she wouldn't be in support of it. She would be against the mingling of church and state.
Well, then I'm on the opposite side of her there, but why wouldn't she, what does she care if I'm trying to have a manger scene so that people can have a religious experience and at the same time, you know, let people know about our happy hour?
Well, but, okay, as an atheist, I have looked into a lot of other religions. I have my reasons. I look into things to know why I feel the way I do. And, you know, like, Jesus Christ, I need a drink. That's taking the Lord's name in vain.
Wait a minute, you're a Jew. I don't get it. You're a Jew and you don't care.
She said she's an atheist.
You're an atheist. If I had a winter solstice sign up, I bet you she'd be happy. I bet you this broad would be happy.
What's the broad thing?
Forgive me, I'm sorry. But you'd be happy if I had up some pagan, you know, this is where the pagans meet, you know, with no pants on or whatever they do.
I'm not pagan.
You're not pagan. Would you have a problem with pagans?
No.
Why not?
Well,
I mean, they're
like
believe...
I said, I'm sympathetic.
Wait
I have
a minute.
Family members and friends who are religious.
Well, I think if I may say,
open
yeah.
Mind to that.
Well, this is getting really weird because I thought I'd have people supporting the fact that I have a manger scene, and
people have supported that, Ted. But the fact that you've got signs that say, I'm sorry, Brittany, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that a whole lot of people would be too terribly upset about the manger scene if you didn't have all the crazy sayings above it.
What do you find offensive? What of the signs do you find offensive?
Well, I mean, honestly, I find them funny, but I can see how people who, you know, are
funny.
Christian or Catholic would find them offensive. It makes sense to me that they would.
No, these are supposed to be logical connections. What do you mean funny?
Ted, if you say once you've seen the baby Jesus, come on over and have a prime rib the size of the baby Jesus, you don't find that funny?
I think anybody that laughs at that is sick. I'm saying it because I want them to make the connect. They just saw a fat, well, not a fat, but they saw a good fat-sized baby. And again, you're making the joke out of it. I want to make the connection in people's minds. Now that they've seen something that size, they can eat something. Well,
I mean, you got to realize that sounds silly, if not downright offensive.
No, but if I had a winter solstice sign up, she'd be all happy. If I had a winter solstice sign up with a guy wearing, like, devil horns and wearing no pants, playing a pan flute...
See, I don't believe in the devil or anything like that.
What?
You know something?
You imagine
I find
you're
this very, this
you're
is very offensive.
A meat to an infant. How does that?
Yeah, that's great. I find that grotesque.
What are you talking about? Saying eat the baby Jesus? Are you sick?
Well, then why would you say now that you've seen a nice fat baby? Come on over now.
You know, Phil, I'm a sponsor.
Ted, I'm not trying to make fun of you.
For 45 minutes, you've taken an advertising pitch that I've been trying to sculpt very carefully and promote the manger scene of this Jesus.
Of this Jesus.
Of the baby Jesus. And you turn it into something like I'm Lizzie Borden, only instead of an axe, I've got a steak knife. I'm very offended by that.
I don't think...
No, I do.
877-876-PHIL. I got to go to another phone call here. I got Kristen. Kristen on the line. Hi, Kristen. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please. We're talking about the manger scene in Roxbury Park, Beverly Hills.
Hi. I just got to say to him that he's being so disrespectful with his signs to every Christian and Catholic out there. Like, what is wrong with you?
Tell me the sign that is offensive to you, and I'll be happy to tell you why it needs to be there. What sign?
Eat a steak as big as baby Jesus? Oh, my goodness. That's like, you're demented.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
Do you like steak? No, I'm going to ask you, do you like steak?
Yeah, I like steak, but...
Who doesn't like steak, right?
Who doesn't like steak, right? I would never eat anywhere that has a sign.
If I put a steak...
What?
Ma'am, there is a war on Christmas going on. Ma'am, there's a war on Christmas going on, and you're part of the problem, because you're fighting the very man that you should be supporting.
I'm defending all Christians and Catholics out there about this sign, these signs you have, and I'm a Wiccan, and I find this so wrong.
Oh, you know something? This is sick. I had a Jew atheist.
Ted, watch that, please. You was an atheist.
Well, who's the Jew? That man from Memphis.
He wasn't. He said over time and again he wasn't Jewish.
Now I got this Wiccan, who you would think would be. Forgive me, ma'am, but you believe in well, you don't believe in eating infants, but didn't they sacrifice them at one time in your religion?
Oh, no, we never sacrifice any animal or human being ever.
That is such bull crap.
How do you know, Ted, what Wiccans did?
They've got the pictures showing them. Ma'am, I've looked
you're
in the
so
books.
They've
got pictures of you people.
You're just being disrespectful to all religion right now.
No, ma'am, I have a major scene. If I put a steak down in front of you the size of an infant, you're telling me your mouth wouldn't be watering?
Not with that image.
Do you mind letting the lady answer, not you?
I would be completely disgusted with the image of thinking as big as a baby. I mean, really, are you dense in the head?
I'm Ted Bell. I build one of the most successful steakhouses in America.
You're telling me,
well, ma'am, you're the one who told me you were Wiccan, and I've seen the images in the books of you people eating infants.
Oh, Ted, that's a bunch of hokum about the Wiccan religion is not based on.
Listen to her laugh. You know something? You can see her stirring
dumb.
A cauldron, can't you?
Oh, my
Ted,
God.
Ted.
Am I dumb? First of all, I put up a manger scene. Secondly, I'm fighting the Beverly Hills City Council to have it stay there. Thirdly, I'm doing all of this on my own. And fourthly, not only are Christians against me, but now I got the Wiccan religion checking in. What?
Just take your sign down and put up your Wiccan. You're a Wiccan.
Kristen, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Go eat a baby.
You know, that's really unfair, Ted.
Unfair? What's unfair is what's happened to me. I got to call a rape crisis line after this show.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, I heard that line on Howard Stern once.
Phil.
A friend of mine came back from Thailand, and he had this chimpanzee that he bought from a guy. Now, somehow he'd gotten it through a military custom in San Diego, and I wound up sitting with this thing. He said, now feed it some of this fruit out of a bowl. And my thinking was that monkeys eat bananas. He said, no, they don't. This one likes to eat these apples and oranges. You give them that. So I had a very tiring week at work. And for some reason, I thought it would be funny if I peeled a banana and looked at the monkey and started eating the banana. And that's when it dropped the fruit, and it started to make a move. Now, I was in the United States Marine Corps, as you know, Phil.
Yeah.
I learned Krav Maga. I learned certain jiu-jitsu, and I did learn taekwondo. When the monkey began to make its move, I came with a roundhouse kick. It went back, it kind of went to the side and hit the cupboard, and then came at me again. And that's when I came with the other leg.
No, hold on for a minute, man. Hold on for just a second. This animal was inside the house?
It was inside the house. That's correct.
And the monkey came after you. Why? Because you were eating a banana?
Because it felt that I was making a comment on what it should be doing or something.
You're telling me that because you were eating a banana, the monkey took that personally?
No, it didn't take it personal. I was eating a banana, and the monkey had been eating this apple, and he looked up at me. He didn't turn his full head toward me. He glanced up out of the corner of his eye and saw the banana, and that's when he made the move. So naturally, I'm assuming it's because I had the banana, and he felt I would, I don't know.
Well, monkeys are not going to feel like you're mocking them.
All right, well, whatever the reason, you got. I'm telling you right now, Phil, I saw it take a quick look at me, drop the fruit, and then make its move. All right, and I knew it was going to make its move. I made mine. And, you know, may the better, in this instance, may the better man or the better ape or the better, you know, the better primate or however, do you know, may the better primate win. So I came with a roundhouse kick. And
all right, so you get a you kicked the animal, did it neutralize the monkey?
No, it did not. I came with a pretty good roundhouse kick. It staggered the monkey, but it came back again. That's when I came with the other leg, and I threw a right hand. The monkey tried to do what monkeys do. It tried to mount, basically it'll put its legs around your neck and try to just shove it. I mean, I don't know how to put it, but it tries to just stick, you know, everything right in your face. And that's when I came with the left hand, and I put it out.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Charlotte 911 Bellamy, do you need police? Fire?
I would not bet she's suing for divorce. Because if she's suing for divorce...
The report says Hayden then snuck into a neighbor's house through an unlocked front door.
I would not bet she's suing for divorce.
Yeah, we feel that it is still within the car constitutional rights.
Burn in hell.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where reality is the bitch, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Through the looking glass we go, where we tell you not only about what's happening in the world, we tell you about you. Coming up this hour, the white majority will end in America by 2050, according to a recent demographic study, and a divorce may be in the future for Tiger and Ellen. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we like to remind you each and every hour. If you are not aware of this, you can be watching our show as well as listening to it. All you have to do is go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you can watch our live streaming video, and you can listen to our live streaming audio, and you can also access a list of our affiliates all across the country. And also, we're very, very happy to announce that our site is has undergone a redesign and is going to be way easier to navigate. We're also going to have a live news feed on our new website, which will enable us to stay in touch with you guys during the day when the show isn't on, by way of video, by way of photographs, by way of blogs, and you'll be able to check in and comment with us as well. So, you know, the world, man, time waits for no one, baby. This is the new age of the new media, and we're right on top of it on this show. You can also go to Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Mr. Raj Fanin, an Egyptian businessman who does a lot of traveling between our country and Egypt. He is a resident here in the United States, and he joins us on our newsmaker line tonight talking about a lot of different things, about the changing cultural face of America and this demographic study, Mr. Fanin, about the white majority. First of all... best of the holidays to you, sir.
And to you. Thank you.
And have you seen the study? I know that it was one of a variety of news items that you and I were talking about.
Well, I saw it. You said it's a demographic. Because in the middle part of this new century, that there is going to be more non-white people in this our country, and this is a good, wake-up call, you know.
A wake-up call for who?
By that, I mean a wake-up call for this country, America, to recognize the cultural reality. This country is not going to stop being America, but the different culture and the different people. And the way that the country is going to change, you know.
Now, you're a Muslim, correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And do you see the country changing religiously?
Oh, yeah, sure. I see the country is going to change religiously, as you say, because this lady, I saw this news that she wants to bring a Christmas carol back into the schools.
The lady in Redding, California?
I don't know if it's in Redding, but this lady wanted to bring a Christmas carol back into school. And I read the story, I thought, this is, you know, to say the phrase, she doesn't get it. You know, you can say it's time to bring Christmas carol back into school, but really the time now is not so much to bring Christmas carol back into school, is to bring more information and more celebration of the different kind of religion, Islam, to put Islam more equal footing, you know, with Christianity.
Now, you know Mr. Finney, you know the sensibility of our country, and the feelings have been very strained at times between the traditional American community and the Muslim community, that we've become aware of. I know that we have many native-born Muslim people, but people who have emigrated here. And is it time, really, is this a good time to be advocating Islam and Christianity being on an equal footing?
Well, this is a good point, but you must always remember, as my son, Todd, who is born here in America, but he tells me, says, Daddy, that Muslim people have suffered great deal since 9/11, you know, because everybody is suspicious of us, you know, and everybody is thinks we are terrorists, and this great deal of suffering. To make up for this and to prepare for this time when the white people, the European American, is no longer in the majority, is to begin to take those first steps in equalizing these religions, you know.
So the Muslim people of America have suffered a great deal since 9/11 because of their being indicted as terrorists, being profiled?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So a way to make up for that is to begin to equalize the two religions. How do you go about doing that in a way, though, that doesn't offend Christians?
Well, not to offend Christians. I don't know if you can, but you have to show these Christians, look at this new story. This is America in 2050. There is not as many white people as there was. There are more people of color. This means there's going to be more diverse, religion, you know, in the country. And so, you see, I don't know how you feel about raising up Islam so that they have equal treating with the Christians, you see.
Yeah.
But you must do it. You must. You must do it because the white people are going away, and there's going to be my son, this is the browning of America, you know, this is the browning of America, you know, is a play on words, but the country is getting darker, and that means more religion, you know.
But you don't hold out any olive branch to Christians to say, Islam has to be on more of an equal footing?
Well, no, the olive branch, I don't know you mean olive branch. To say to them, Islam, when you sing a Christmas carol, you must have Islam, too. When you talk of Jesus, you have to have Islam, too. And you say, is there an olive branch there? And the Christian would say, we suffered greatly since 9/11. And I don't want to say, you know, but you know what happened.
I'm sorry?
I don't want to say, but you know, things happen, you know. My son, he says, I can't use the word, so every time I'm choosing.
No, things happen.
Things happen, yeah.
Well, what does that mean, things happen? In other words...
The white majority is going to end in America by 2050. You know that?
Yeah, I know that. You and I were talking about the story. But when you say that you want Islamic religion as a result of the white majority going away to be on more of an equal footing with Christianity in America, and if it isn't, things happen...
No, I did not say it is. I said it must be, well, there must be an equal footing of Islam with Christianity. Or, you know, they say all bets are off. You know they say?
I know the saying, all bets are off, yeah.
All bets are off, yeah. My son said, Todd says, Islam must be equal to Christianity or zero? Katie barred the door, you know.
Well, sir, when you use phrases like Katie bar the door or all bets are off, those are, in our society, in our culture, they sound like quasi-threats.
No. It's like I use the word bastard. You and I have spoken many times that bastard in America is a negative. But in my culture, if you say this bastard, it means just this guy or this woman, you know. Like, if I said to you, the white people in America, these bastards are going to be in the minority... I'm not saying they're bad people, and it's just a phrase.
Yeah, but when you say the white people are going to be in a minority in America by 2050, these bastards are going to be in the minority, it's taken as an insult.
No, but once I explain to you... Yeah, my son said, what part of it's not a bad word don't you understand?
Sir, I understand that it's not a bad word to you. I'm just telling you that when you say, by 2050, these white people, these bastards, are going to be in a minority, people think it's a negative.
No, I understand that. I'm sensitive to that. But we want all Muslims to be treated equal to Christian because the white majority is dwindling and we're going to take over, and not take over the government, not take over the... Not to disassemble democracy. No. America is a great country for democracy. A great country, but we take over in the culture, you know, and so I don't think you understand how poorly we've been treated since 9/11. A few people died, and I know they died in 9/11, and suddenly all Muslims are terrorists. We are coming to the U.S. in great numbers, and, you know, like Todd said, you have to, you know, you've got to do what you got to do, you know.
Well, there you go again. Katie bar the door, you got to do what you got to do, and all bets are off, sound like threats.
You know, I have to say, it must be easily offended people. I don't mean a threat. You know,
well, what does that mean? I mean, you say that the Muslims are going to be in the majority, or the...
No, I didn't say a Muslim. I said a non-white.
All right, non-whites are going to be in the majority, but that means that Muslims should be treated equally, or you got to do what you got to do.
Todd is saying... It's a threat, but not a threat like a bad threat. It says you got to do what you got. It's that you got no choice. That's what I mean.
And you don't think that sounds threatening?
No. These bastards, again, I don't mean that negative, but these bastards who think white culture is going to rule the roost, it's not going to happen, you know. And so
European Americans just better get ready with treating Islam on equal footing with Christianity.
Well, what else are you going to do?
Well, I can tell you that even though there may be a minority or a African-American or Hispanic majority, many of those people are Christians.
Well, a lot of them are Christians, yes, but also a lot of them are Islam. So you know you're going to have more Islam, you know. And so you got to do what you got to do. It's like Todd was saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I want to get that study out, too. I want to get the story out. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take some of your phone calls for Raj Fanin. He is a businessman living here in the United States, talking about the prediction that by 2050, the white people, or the European Americans of America, will be in the minority. And that means that it is time to begin to treat Islam and these other religions on an equal footing with Christianity, or you got to do what you got to do. And I haven't clarified that. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
You got to do what you got to do.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Raj Faneen joining me along with, I think your son Todd is on the line there, huh?
Yes, Todd, home from school tomorrow, is listening to his daddy on the radio.
Here is the story, Raj. White American majority to end by mid-century. The estimated time when whites will no longer make up the majority of Americans has been pushed back 8 years to 2050. Because the recession and stricter immigration policies have slowed the flow of foreigners into the U.S. So they had set it at 2042.
Yes, they had, but 8 years is not going to make that much of a difference. By the mid-century, it is going to be a political power shift in this country for people of color. And that's why we say to the white, it's better now than, to get ready for it now,
When we say get ready for it, equal religious standing, holidays.
Sure. A lot of you see these bastards when they have the Easter. This bastard had the.
When you say this bastard and you're talking about Easter, okay?
No, it's not an insult.
But it sounds like it.
I don't know. We're not talking about Jesus as a bastard. He's not a bastard. We're saying that the people celebrate Easter as a bastard, but. Even if I said that Jesus is a bastard, I don't mean it that way,
I understand, but even if you said Jesus is a bastard, that would really upset people. So you have to be careful with that.
Oh, I know that, but you're getting excited about nothing,
Well, I don't think so, sir. The estimate here is 2050.
Yeah, it's 8 years because of 9/11, they wanted to keep Muslims out, and we got profiled, and they treated very badly, very badly. America must make up for this, and the best way to make up for this is to recognize the reality that is about to impose itself on America, and begin to recognize the inevitable, get ready for it, and accept your fate,
See, when you say accept your fate, that sounds very negative.
Everything I said to you tonight, you think is negative, and I think you have a problem with that.
Well, maybe I don't understand the phrasing.
Oh, you don't. There's nothing negative to say except your fate. This is your fate. That you're going to see a prayer, a mosala, which is the prayer. You're going to see this, and you're going to see women being more modest. You're going to see this in America. But remember how you treated us after 9/11.
Well, I don't think, sir, that we treated all Muslims in a bad way. I think we had a certain list of people that we were looking at. Here is Chad in Texas. Chad, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Raj Faneen as we talk about this story about white American majority. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Mr. Henry. Hey, thanks for having
me
on.
Yes, sir.
I hear about all this minority majority. I could really care less if there's more black people than there is white people, Mexican people, whatever. My concern is that why is it that us as Americans are being told that we need to be more sensitive to other religions and other people's beliefs? And this right here is an exactly reason why I think that our borders should be closed to begin with now. We allow people from other countries to come into ours for a better life. And I don't understand why that is not enough. For instance, the gentleman that's on the line now, I'm sure he came to this country and started a business because he seen an opportunity to better his life. I don't think that he looked at America before he came over and said, looks like a good place where I can go and practice my religion and make everybody else sensitive to my religion. If you want to be around people that are sensitive to your religion and your beliefs, then stay in your country.
There's freedom of religion in America. Is this,
you're right.
This is true.
But you're absolutely right.
Also,
if there's freedom, then how come that I'm hearing stories about 8-year-old kids being reprimanded for reading the Bible in class? That kid was not preaching or trying to push his or her religion.
A Muslim child, but there might have been a Muslim child that was nearby that was offended. You know, it's offensive to us for you to do that.
Why would you be offended of American reading the Bible in America?
It's too much. After 9/11, you know, you thought we were all terrorists. We were going to kill.
I understand that, and I am sensitive to that. However,
too much.
It is known. I'm not going to say that it's known, but for the most part, whenever we do see a terrorist attack on the news, it's almost always a Muslim. So how can you blame people for automatically assuming or being a little bit reserved or scared of that type of person? If I saw Chinese people growing up on buildings, then I would be a little apprehensive to be around Chinese people.
Right.
But it's not.
But you know, you call from Texas, right? You are in Texas?
Yes.
Yes. And you know that they say in Texas to secede. Now, that is suspicious of me. If you say I am from Texas and the man said they want to secede, I would say I am suspicious of Texas. They don't have this country's best interest.
Well, that was just the governor talking out of his rear end, okay?
But I don't know that. And this man, he wants to secede, you know. If he puts a car near an embassy or something like this, you know?
Well, sir, I mean,
right,
I'm calling from Texas. However, I am an American.
Yeah,
I just happen to be calling from Texas.
Well, you don't want to secede. Because that's what that guy said, you know. He said he wants to secede, and to me, that's terrorism, you know, if they want to do.
All right, well, hold on. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
I mean, I don't know, you know, but...
Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876 with me, Raj Faneen. And we're talking about the story today about white American majority to end by mid-century. You heard that last gentleman saying he doesn't care. I'm sorry, our number, full number, 877-876. Phil.
Yeah, my son said that, you know, you don't give the phone number, right?
Yeah, I know. For some reason, I just stopped it. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we'll get to phone calls in just a second. With the increasing of Hispanic and African-American people, black people will make up 12.2% of the population. Hispanics, currently 15%, will rise to 28%. Asians, 6.6%, plus the elderly.
Yeah, I saw that, but that's not there. That is a statistic that they will throw in there to make it more palatable, you know, these bastards who are white, you know, these bastards will say, well, there's still a lot of old people, you know, these bastards are not white people, they are old people. And so... we honor old people, you know, and we love old people, but there's not much they're going to be able to do to keep us from making the changes that we have to make, you know.
What changes do you want to make? You're not going to get rid of Christianity.
No, but people are going to have to be used to the masala, the cult of prayer, D.C., a big Muslim city, Minneapolis, big Muslim city, Detroit, a big Muslim city. And while that is happening, women will be more modest. This is good, you know.
No, but you're talking about, all right, I want to get some phone calls, but you're talking about a changing women being more modest. What about Christian women?
Well, Christian women, but women more modest, you know, to put more modest clothing. They are different practice, stoning. We don't, I don't want that any more than you do. And what says, no one wants this stoning. No one wants stoning.
No one wants stoning, and nobody's going to let stoning happen.
Okay, you know, I hope not, you know.
No, it's not going to happen in America. This is a modern country. This country is the cutting edge. This is the country of the future. We don't do that in our country, okay?
If the lady is not modest.
That doesn't make any difference. Jack, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Raj Fanin.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You're on with Raj Fanin.
I can't hardly hear you, sir.
Can you hear me? Did any gentleman hear me?
Yeah, he can
hear
you.
Yes, sir. I can hear you, sir. Sir, I from what I understand, the Muslim people, at least a lot of them, doesn't accept the Christian faith because their God is completely different than the Christian God. The Christians, I'm not a Christian per se, but Christians serve Jesus Christ as God, and their God is, I'm not sure of the name of their God, but they claim that the Christians are infidels and that they're the great saviors.
You said impotent?
Sir?
Did you say impotent?
Infidel.
Infidels. Yes. They say they're infidels and that they're the great Satan. And there's a man in the city of Indianapolis, his name's Toby. He is a Muslim. And I run into him riding my bicycle one day, and I've gave him money before. He never bums money from nobody, but he walks all over the city of Indianapolis, and I stopped and seen him, and I said, hey, you need a bicycle like me, Toby.
Do you ever look at this show called The Shift? You ever see The Shift? I love this program. We look at this program.
Never mind The Shift. The gentleman's talking about religion right now.
Well, he is Indianapolis. You're Indianapolis, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, The Shift.
Forget about The Shift. So what? So Jack, you see this. So can you address some of these points, Raj?
Well, first of all, the Muslim God is Allah.
Yes.
And this is our God. Now,
yes,
Allah is the name of God.
Yes, sir.
Christians don't have a name for God. They call him God.
And well, they have many names. The Christian God has many names. They had Allah, Yahweh,
called
many names.
Well, you're not supposed to say, you're not supposed to say that. You shouldn't have said that. That pisses off the Jehovah's Witnesses. You shouldn't have said that.
Well, anyhow, I want to ask you another question. I went to shake hands with Toby, and when I did, Toby is his name, sir. I went to shake hands with him because I like the man.
How are you spelling that?
I don't know how you spell it.
T-O-B-Y, I guess. Toby.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Anyhow, when I went to shake hands with him, he put his hand out in a knuckle like, and some black people do that. So I touched my knuckles to his, and I said, well, I just wanted to shake hands with you, Toby. And he said, this is my Christian hand. He said, black Muslim. And he put it up in the air like he kind of bent his elbow up. And I said, well, I just want to shake hands with you. He wouldn't shake hands with me because he said that was his Christian hand.
Well,
that's all I'm asking.
You have to understand that Toby, I know who he is. He's famous in the Muslim community. He's not playing with the, not playing with the full deck, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, he seems to be all right to me. That's all I want to ask, sir.
He's not okay. No, plus he had swine flu 3 weeks ago. He's reluctant to shake hands because of the swine.
Well, he told me because of his Christian hand. So I didn't know.
His Christian hand. I wanted his Christian hand.
Well, yes, sir.
Yeah, because
he put it up in the air. One hand is my Christian hand, black Muslim. And I said, okay, you know what? That was his thing.
Well,
so,
you know,
okay. Thank
you, sir. Sin against, you know, there's a sin against masturbation, and this is why they say, well, this is my Christian hand. I don't use that hand. And I it's very vulgar. I don't wish to go into it.
What are you talking about?
I mean, a certain sin against self-gratification. I say, well, I don't use my Christian hand, and they think they can get away with it, but it's not really the Quran. Does not accept that.
This is my Christian hand, so I use the other hand.
Yes.
All right, Jack.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Raj Fanin. Here is Eric. Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask this gentleman where he's getting his facts from on the fact that we're going to be a minority in the middle of this century.
Yes, sir. This is in Associated Press today. White America majority to end by mid-century. This was a different news outlet today. If you look at the any of the news agency.
I have the story here. I think mine's Associated Press, too. Estimated time when whites will no longer make up the majority of Americans have been pushed back 8 years to 2050.
Yes, 2050, no way. The white people, they don't. So that's why I say the whites, they need to start to adjust, you know, to get the Islam going. Put some of the burqas in the stores.
We have to adjust to everybody else when they're coming to the United States, that we have to conform our lives and our beliefs for everybody else to be happy.
You know, Raj, we need to clarify, just because the majority are people of color doesn't mean that they're immigrants. Many of these people are natural-born Americans.
Well, okay, you know, but you know that, a lot of them are Muslim, and that's what I mean, you know. And
what if we were to take 20 million white Americans, put them in Egypt or Afghanistan, and tell them they got to conform to us? That's not going to happen.
What?
They're not going to take Allah, throw him away, and accept God. And no, and we shouldn't have to do that either.
Well,
we should not have to conform
Americans
to your belief because you come to America.
Yeah,
if
but
you
don't
have
your
belief, all of that's fine.
You don't have a choice.
Push it on us
because
we're going to be on you.
We're going to be in the majority because there's going to be more of us. You know,
I'm sorry that you're going to be the majority.
I'm not saying that you don't get to worship Jesus, but you have to make room for Allah. You know, and the different modest dress. You know, if your wife.
Fine.
I'm sure your wife is very
beautiful.
We're
not going to make room.
But if she's not,
anybody should make room for anybody. You have yours, we have ours, and if that's the way it's going to be, then that's the way it's going to be. You don't push yours on us, we won't push ours on you.
I don't know. You don't have a choice, you know. Yeah, I don't know if you've got a choice, you know.
I don't think you have a
choice. What does that mean, you don't have a choice? I mean,
in America, I've got plenty of choices. This is the land of the free.
Exactly.
I was born a free man.
You were born
was not born into a democracy or a dictatorship.
You were not born into a democracy. You were born into what, a dictatorship?
No, he said he was born into a democracy.
Not into it.
He was born into a dictatorship. He does not want it to turn into democracy.
No, he did not say that. He said he was born into a democracy, and he does not want it to turn into a dictatorship.
He's not going to be a dictatorship. If everybody goes according to the program, you know.
The program that you're trying to force on everybody is not what the majority right now wants.
Right now. But the story says
will it
2050.
Ever be?
Yeah, 2050.
There is
will be in
one
the
God that
majority.
Everybody in the world agrees on. There are many different beliefs.
Well, you shouldn't get nervous about it because you should not get nervous about it because it's going to be okay. And just all we say is this. You know, you get the day off for this, Easter? Then you have to give us a day off for some, you know, like, I don't know, but. because we don't have the same kind of holiday.
That's not.
You know.
Then you need to conform to Christianity if you want the day off for Easter.
Why do I want to conform?
day off for Easter? It's on
why
Sunday.
Why should we give you a...
Hello?
Why should
it's
we just
Easter,
get something
on,
to you?
Easter,
have you heard
Sunday.
It? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God?
Day off. I think I
Do
just said a lot.
Do you believe in God?
I just said a lot.
You believe in Allah. We believe
right.
in God. So you're
yes,
not going
Allah.
To get
I believe,
an extra day
I believe
off.
In Allah.
So you believe
we
in
give
Allah.
God, we give God a day. We give God a name.
Don't
His name
deserve
is
it.
We just don't say,
Sorry.
We just don't say, hey, God, you know. But I have
Anybody
to tell you, Easter's on Sunday, so you already get the day off.
What a dummy.
Hey.
Well, I mean, Stop. You know, the guy ought to know that.
All right.
Yes,
thank
I
you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Easter is on a Sunday, right. 877-876-PHIL.
Easter is on a Sunday.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you're all, like, you know, laughing like you think the guy's funny. This guy says, hey, you know, you don't get the day off for Easter.
I know, because it's on a Sunday, and you made that point.
Todd says he's a dumbass, too.
I don't care what Todd says. You made the point. I understand that. And, you know, you're talking about days off. Do you have individual days, you know?
Oh, yeah, we have Ramadan, you know. But Ramadan goes on for week after week after week. And do you think we are so selfish as to take whole weeks? No. Just like these bastards, they take Christmas, they take 2 weeks.
No, Christmas falls on one day.
No. It's got, like, you gotta give these bastards weeks off, you know. Otherwise, they jump up and down, you know.
All right. I don't think he understands. Our number is 877-876-PHIL with Raj Fanin here talking with us about the white American majority to end by the mid-century and the cultural, the demographic changes, obvious, the cultural changes, perhaps the religious changes that will ensue. And Raj is talking about, you know, get with the program and the Muslims are going to be, there's going to be a lot of them. And so you better, you know, and get a burqa store going. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast here, and it's already, it's getting close to Friday morning with Raj Fanin, Egyptian businessman who's on our newsmaker line as we talk about the demographic shift. You heard that last caller saying that, you know, you can't push your weight around.
Yeah, but that guy, he didn't like the idea of, you know, there's going to be brown, you know, a lot of brown people. He didn't like it, you know.
Why do you say that?
Because he said, where did you get this story? And I had to read, and you read this story to him. So he didn't want to believe it. And once we said it's true, then he said, well, you know, and so...
What holidays are you saying that Muslims will require as Muslims and Christians get more on equal footing as we head toward the middle of the century where the white American majority will end?
Well, you've got to begin to work into the holidays, Ashura, Lail al-Isra, which is the night of journey, Lail al-Qadir, which is the night of power, the Musala, place for the Musala, which is our prayer mat, you know. And right now, I'm very proud to say we've got more prayer mats in D.C. per capita than any town outside of Arab country, out of a Muslim country, you know. We've got more prayer mats and more Musala going in Detroit. So, you know.
Do you want to see women wearing burqas?
I hope it's not necessary. I hope by the middle of the century, women are going to get with it, you know. But, the American women...
Well, you know, as a democratic society, I don't know how you're going to be able to enforce a lot of these religious concepts that you claim you want. Here is Ashton in Mobile, Alabama. Ashton, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Raj Fanin. Go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to make a comment to the Muslim believer that you have that here in America we have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and we can serve whomever we choose to serve. And I'm calling from Alabama, and we have different denominations of Christianity, and everyone is free to believe in whatever God, in whatever God they want to serve. But here in America, we believe in God, Jesus Christ, Father, God.
But what about the Muslim? What about the Quran?
I'm not very familiar with Muslim, but from what I've understand and what I've listened to, I do not believe in idol gods. I believe in Jesus Christ, who walked this earth, and I'm just like the Hebrew boys. When they would not bow down to the king, they said they would die before they would bow down to a king or serve some idol god. And that is what we believe here in America. We believe in Jesus Christ, and that's who we will serve. And no,
what do you think of women in the bag? What do you think of the women in the bag?
Women in a bag.
What does he think of the women in a bag? In a burqa? To put the burqa?
I understand his question.
You know how we require our women to be modest and to cover their face and their body with a bag? Do you going to have a problem with that?
Yes, I have a problem with that. Because in America, our women do not have to cover their faces.
Okay. Look at this bastard, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I use the word bastard, this guy, you know. The bastard that got nailed to the cross.
Don't use that word when you're talking about Jesus. He's a religious figure, an icon.
It's not a bad word.
It's a bad word here.
The guy that got nailed on the cross, is that God? Yes, I know that you say. Okay, fine. Allah, to me, is the God. Now, everything...
Well, where is your Allah? Has he died on a cross for anybody's sins?
You're not going to like the answer. You're not going to like the answer.
Huh?
The answer is...
Born of a virgin?
He's too smart for that. And the...
What does that mean?
He's not going to get himself nailed to a cross. What's that about? So what he did is he said, okay, I'm going to come down to the prophet. The prophet will tell you, this, that, put a bag on, all that. And that's where that's at. You know, it's a very easy religion to understand instead of all of this jazz about, he died on a cross and another guy did this. You'll love it.
Well, I'm not going to take up much of your time, Phil, but I am a U.S. citizen, a citizen of Alabama, 42 years, and I am a God-fearing man. And there's no way that America will let any foreigners come here and just throw their religion on us and tell us that we're going to have to accept it or we will die. We're not going to do that.
There is precedent for it. And I can tell you, there was a guy by the name of John Smith.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And the problem with Lieberman is, he is kind of the suicide bomber kind of.
Okay, Dylan, this is the most significant reform of the healthcare system.
We come here in Copenhagen because climate change poses a grave.
If there were any way to charge this mother and put her here at the jail, investigators
you
say...
You have been tweeting me.
You are going to hell.
Keep that in mind there, Rick. World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about in the Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass of talk radio, where we tell you about the news, the world, and you. Jessica Simpson threatens to sue Star Magazine for linking her to Tiger Woods. And joining us this hour, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, as we talk with her about this story in Florida, a mom who apparently, and you just heard a little bit of the audio there, a mother who is under fire from some of the people that follow her on Twitter because she tweeted after her son's death. That's the allegation. A Florida mother being criticized by bloggers and Twitter users for posting a tweet less than an hour after her two-year-old son drowned in a swimming pool at her home. Now, my understanding was the tweet was actually put online before this baby died, but I could have that wrong. According to the news, she tweeted less than an hour after her two-year-old son drowned in a swimming pool at her home. Her name is Shelley Ross, 38 years of age. She's a stay-at-home mom. She lives outside Patrick Air Force Base, where her husband serves. This is in Merritt Island, Florida. She posted a message asking that people pray for her son after he'd fallen into the family's swimming pool. Brian, her son, died at a hospital less than an hour after paramedics responded. She apparently has 5,000 followers on Twitter. She's called Military Mom. She also has a blog. And since the tweet, she's been criticized for taking the time to send out the message. In other words, she should have been concentrating, obviously, either on the death of her son or mourning her son or something along those lines. Joining us is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. We're going to talk a little bit about not only that story, but similar things that have happened in your community, Bobby, and we thank you very much for joining us. I mean, this has got to be the worst thing in the world for a mother.
Well, Phil, there's no doubt that losing a child is the greatest tragedy that any parent can undergo. I don't know what the circumstances were surrounding the death of this child. I can tell you that in our community, we've had similar situations to deal with. And you try as much as you can to be sympathetic. But I have to tell you that there does come a time when the tragedy of people, no matter what it is, does not necessarily mean that life has to end for everyone else.
This lady wasn't really asking that everybody stop what they were doing and pay attention to her. She was posting about her son.
But she was, because I do use Twitter and I do use Facebook, and as does my husband Steve and those of us who sit on our Homeowners Association board, and you can jam up the news feed with a lot of sometimes very unnecessary clutter. I'm not saying that she should not mourn her son, but there are people that use Twitter and Facebook for a lot of things that are important to them, and I don't know, again, about this story.
You mentioned that you were having an end-of-the-year meeting on the books and the finances for the Homeowners Association, and there was a woman there who had suffered something similar?
Well, it's a little bit different. What happened for us, I basically live-blog all of our meetings. We have our Homeowners Association meetings once a month. I do live blog them. I do post on Twitter and on Facebook some of the decisions that we're making so that our community can stay current in real time. And we were having the end of the year meeting, which includes going over our books. And Karen Johansson is one of our media contact people. She had called me, and she had said that her infant daughter had apparently died overnight from what she told me was SIDS.
Sudden infant death syndrome?
That's my understanding, yes. And, of course, we have our books that we're doing, and we need her as our media contact. Because we do get a fair number of people writing for our local newspaper here in Western States.
All right, now you're located in the Valley in Los Angeles, so do you have interest from the Daily News?
There's a number of newspapers and a number of radio outlets and bloggers that are interested in our books.
This lady calls you. She must have been absolutely heartsick.
Absolutely, Phil. As a matter of fact, Steve took the call, and you said it was very difficult for her to understand her.
Yeah, I could understand. She was saying she's crying and everything.
Steve took the call and said that it was very difficult to understand her, but I took the phone, and because of my role as a Homeowners Association president, people here see me as the go-to girl, put it the way they put it, and, you know, you want to show that you're in control, and I showed her that I was listening to her, and I told her to calm down, and what happened? And she tells me that Serenity, her daughter, had died overnight. And I said, what from? And that's when she said, SIDS. Now, if you're familiar with this term, you do know that it has been used in the past by some parents, some, I'm saying, who have actually murdered their children. So the first thing that really comes into my mind when I hear that is, I want to reserve judgment. I don't want to appear overly solicitous if, in point of fact, something like that happens.
How well do you know this woman?
Oh, I've known her for years. She's been on a homeowners association. She's been our media contact person for 7 years.
So you know her pretty well. Is this a person that you suspected of having murdered her own daughter?
I don't know. I always believed that she was a very, very good friend. I trusted her with my own children. We did a lot of babysitting for each other. We've had her and Dave to our house I don't know how many times. But when I heard that she said the kid or the daughter died from SIDS, and I knew that I had a room of some 900, Steve?
About 1,200.
We had over 1,000 people waiting to hear our report on the finances of the Homeowners Association. We had two representatives from two newspapers, and we did understand that Channel 7 was going to be there. And now she's calling me to tell me that her daughter's dead. And the reason...
Well, did you have any reason to doubt this? I mean, this is quite a thing to say, that her daughter is dead.
No, I had no reason to doubt that her daughter was dead. None whatsoever. When she said SIDS, red flag.
That's red flag, Mr. Adams. People will sometimes kill the kid.
It is a red flag.
No, I understand that there have been instances of babies, infants, being murdered by parents, and sometimes they say, oh, gee, I don't know what happened, and they have this thing called sudden infant death syndrome, but I also know that it is a legitimate malady of some kind that they have not been too successful at diagnosing. So my question is, you doubted, though, that she was telling you the truth?
Well, Phil, I like to look at things very carefully. One of the reasons why I've been the Homeowners Association here, president here for a long time, is I do look at things very carefully. And I had to make a tough call. Sometimes SIDS is used as an excuse by parents who have suffocated their children with a pillow or...
They use a plastic bag, too.
What?
Plastic.
A plastic bag they use from the dry cleaning? You know that? I don't know if you've heard that, Phil.
I've heard a lot of different things. Well, your point is what?
Well, no, my point is simply this. I've got 800 people in a room who are waiting to hear the financial report of our Homeowners Association, two members of local newspapers, possibly a television station, and all of a sudden my main media contact person calls me and says, she can't be there, and she's using as an excuse...
You don't know that this is an excuse, though, Bobby, right?
No, but she's using as her story her daughter dying from something that people have said their kid died from when they've actually, put a plastic bag over their head.
Yeah, so you don't know.
And I have to make a judgment call. And the judgment call I made was the following. I told her, I said, Karen, let's the police look at this. And she got very angry with me, and I said, I said to her to calm down, that I'm the Homeowners Association president, and I want her to speak to me with some respect. Calm down. Let's see what the police turn up. And she's very angry now. Because
well, Bobby, I got to tell you, I don't blame her for being angry if you're intimating that the police are needed. You know,
I said to her, let's calm down, get over to the meeting, because we need you here as our media contact person. She said that there wasn't anybody there at the house, that Dave was at work. I said, well, the baby has been dead a week. And she said, yes. And I said, so it is obviously wherever it is, so you're not having to look at the corpse. And she said, my God, I'm planning a funeral. And I put all of this together in a way, and I really came out with the following thing. I think she's stalling me.
No, wait. She just lost her baby daughter, okay?
Yes, she lost her baby daughter. But I have to look at these books, and I need my media contact person there. Is she stalling me because she doesn't want to come to the meeting because she wants to do something else?
Well, she's grieving her daughter.
She may be grieving her daughter, but it's been a week. That's number one. And number two, she, again.
If she had something to do with it.
If she had something to do with it.
But, Bobby, a week, I don't think, is hardly enough time to grieve the death of a baby.
I agree with you, but I think it's enough time to grieve it enough so that you can at least get down to a homeowners association meeting. What happened, Phil, at this meeting, by the way, we were questioned very stringently about our expenditures. And I needed a go-to person for the media. She wasn't there. She was at home doing whatever she was doing, grieving. I'm not saying she should grieve. I'm saying a week is enough to grieve to the point where Steve...
Well, you got enough to grieve out. You're still grieving, but you got enough out where you go do the media.
Where she can do her job. Okay? And again, because you've suffered a tragedy, it doesn't mean the world comes to a stop. And, you know, I said this at the meeting, and a lot of people said to me, I have to tell you, Ms. Dooley, you really say things that we think, but we're afraid to say. And you're really, really hitting the nail on the head.
So you got more sympathy for your point of view.
More sympathy for my point of view that, what's the holdup with Karen? Is the baby dead from SIDS, or did she smother it?
That's great.
All right, hold the line. 877-876-PHIL. Here's a mother who lost her baby to SIDS. According to Ms. Dooley, that is a coin toss. Either she smothered it or the kid really died from SIDS, and she needed her at this Homeowners Association meeting as a media contact person. And just because you suffer a tragedy doesn't mean that the world has to stop. Now, I don't know whether or not that's the case. I don't know if Bobby, you're saying, if just one more point here, if you're saying that this lady in Florida, this poor woman in Florida who apparently her son drowned.
Phil, what I'm saying, in a lot of ways, my main point is that it's very selfish for people to lose their kids, who do lose their kids, to expect the rest of us to mourn them. We do have our own lives. And
but what about sensitivity?
Yes, sensitivity, to a point. But this... you know, becoming a professional griever. And
all right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. 877-876-PHIL, a professional griever. All right, we'll be back with Bobby Dooley and the story of the woman whose baby died, and that was not enough for Ms. Dooley and the Homeowners Association to allow her to miss a meeting on finances. And, of course, the woman in Florida who tweeted that her son had died, was she jamming up the news feed of Twitter and Facebook with these messages? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I think you're twisting my words.
Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to our show, 877-876-PHIL. When we talk about the death of a child, especially in Florida, a woman who went on Twitter and asked people to pray for her son who had drowned, it is trauma like no other. It is trauma compounded. With us is Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association, where you had this very tragic occurrence in your Homeowners Association. The child was an infant and died from SIDS, and the woman whose baby died was your media contact person. Did you ever think that, and we're going to get to some phone calls here, Bobby, so you can talk to our listeners, 877-876-PHIL, by the way, folks. Did you ever think that the child died from SIDS, take her word for it, and move on?
In my position as a homeowners association president, I cannot afford to look as if I don't know what's going on in my own community. when Karen said that the baby had died from SIDS, that was a red flag. I contacted the local police, and using their anonymous tip line, and said, there's a possibility, not a probability, but a possibility of a smothering or a...
Of a smothering.
I gave them the address of Karen's house.
You're basing this all on the fact the woman said her daughter died from SIDS, and so you thought maybe the baby had been smothered.
You have to take that into consideration, and if that's the case, I cannot appear to look overly solicitous. I've got to get her to the meeting, because if it turns out that the baby was murdered by her, then my bringing her to the meeting will not look callous. It'll look as it should, that I know what I'm doing.
Then my wife knows you're doing. And the autopsy's not complete yet, the autopsy.
The autopsy is not complete yet, and we are hoping, and I shouldn't say this, but the baby's dead, so it really doesn't matter what they say, but we are hoping that it is determined the child had a bag or...
No, a bag got slipped.
That a plastic bag was slipped over its head.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, what? Just so you look right?
No, not because I look right, Phil. It would confirm what we had suspected.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here listening to us in Akron, Ohio. Is Debbie? Debbie, you're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. I am shocked that these folks from this homeowners association are so cold-hearted. I don't understand.
Oh no.
They must not have children, and they obviously have never lost a child, but I think it takes a bit longer than a week to grieve for a child that has died.
Absolutely. But we feel that enough of the grief is done so that you can assume your responsibilities.
A week is not enough, ma'am. I'm sorry, but obviously, I work at a children's hospital. And I've seen children die.
The baby did die.
And I've seen parents grieve.
Yeah.
And it's longer than a week before normal business takes place. So I don't know exactly your situation with your homeowner's problem.
Where did you say you were?
Obviously, the death of this child is more important to this woman and the grieving process than the problems that you're facing. I'm just shocked that you are acting like this.
What's
that? I'm sorry.
I said, I'm shocked that a woman would be so cold-hearted about another woman.
No, you're very, very wrong. You're very wrong.
That's all I've heard on the radio.
Then allow me to explain. First of all, SIDS is often used by parents that have smothered the child.
You have no proof of that.
Well, we know that the police know that the parent will say, it looks like SIDS.
Yeah, and the baby's
But you have no proof of that. You even said that she watched your children and you had no problem with that.
To assume that
someone has killed their own child is pretty serious. I just think you're wrong to expect her to come back to work so soon.
But I would tell you this. We had a very important meeting. She's my media contact person. If she's trying to take the day off, as my husband says, I don't know if you're married, but they use this term, screw the pooch, you know?
I can't. You're saying the woman's
screwing the pooch?
I just can't believe that you're talking like this about a woman who has lost her child.
Exactly. Debbie, hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley about the death of this child at the Western Estates in Florida. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Phil, our number 877-876-PHIL. Before we get back to Bobby Dooley, let me play for you just a couple of pieces of audio from the story that that really got us on the line with Bobby and Steve. Florida mom under fire for tweet after son's death. A lot of people felt she shouldn't be Twittering after her son had drowned in a swimming pool. People thought that it was inappropriate for her to be Twittering. Here is psychiatrist Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman talking about the Twitter mom during an interview on Fox and Friends.
This is either, depending on how you look at it, this is either a grotesque example of inappropriate behavior, self-induced invasion of privacy, oversharing on the internet, or it's an example of a traumatic grief reaction gone viral. The social media have begun to pervade our lives. People are using them. And as phenomena occur in their lives, they're using them in ways that have not been used before and exposing a broader segment of the population to events that are not just intimate or informative, but also in some ways shocking and raising questions about propriety and what is the motivation of people in doing so.
Okay, Bobby, comment.
You know, I love that you played that. I couldn't agree more with the doctor. People, when they are looking for, sympathy, they will do something that is called smoking out the celebrities. And what you do is you put on internet or on the Twitter, my son just drowned. What you're hoping to do is to get Alyssa Milano or Lauren Bacall. Did you know that Lauren Bacall has a Twitter account? Phil?
No, I did not. I don't. Lauren Bacall, the actress.
One of the greatest actresses that ever lived. Well, she doesn't tweet that much, and so if you say, my son died, you'll get a response from her, maybe. The same holds true, I think, with Karen Johansson and Dave. If you say, my son died of SIDS, you're hoping maybe to get out of your responsibilities at our homeowners association meeting. Where we're planning on purchases for the year, fashion shows, and their impact with our charities. I have to be alerted to that.
But the question of your insensitivity to the possibility that this woman is actually telling the truth and lost a child.
Phil, the question to that I will answer with two words. Hillary Clinton. Women that are strong, like myself, and I say that with all modesty.
She really is, though.
All right, Steve. Women that are strong and have positions of power, people want to tear you down. They want to not only tear you off the pedestal, but in a lot of ways they want to work out some rape fantasy. I don't doubt that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton gets those kinds of letters. I know there are women in my homeowners association who have almost a rape fantasy about me.
Well, I don't want to get into that because it sounds very ghoulish and probably inappropriate. We're talking about a woman that lost her child and your response to that, Ms. Dooley, not the other way around. Here is Chris in Atlanta. Chris, you're on with Bobby Dooley here on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
I was getting
okay,
to that.
I think this woman's insensitive and she's a monster. And how can she even think to even accuse someone that she supposedly is a friend of? I really don't want to be your friend. I mean, if you treat your friends like this, who wants? I mean, really.
Well,
and the other thing is, if you're
the
president, shouldn't you have the information already about the economics? Shouldn't that be information that you should already very irresponsible?
We have, apparently you're not familiar with that. We have media. I needed her as my media contact. Okay.
No, you didn't need her for media contact. If she just lost her child and you're accusing her of having killed her own child, I think the person
maybe.
I need the media contact is you with a psychiatrist.
No, I'm saying
you
I'm
have
saying
no
maybe.
Grounds to put this doubt in people's minds, and I think that you're a very weak, sad person to
no,
even have to
I'm
go
very
there.
Strong.
Really?
Well, you know, I'm
really,
very strong.
You're
That's why people don't like me.
And the media
and, they don't
and the TV
like what,
and these other individuals should understand if she lost a child to reschedule this.
Ask her the question.
Well, I have to ask you a question. Do you live in a gated community?
Excuse me?
Do you live in a gated community? You don't even know what that is, do you? A gated community is a community that has security gates. That's where we live. So maybe you don't understand, you know, what
so
you're
what
talking
about.
What
does the security gate have anything to do with what's happened?
Because we have a very exclusive neighborhood.
Then you know, this woman should have an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 1,000 people in your homeowners association,
yes. Very
then you should, this woman should have an assistant who has the same shared information, who should be able to substitute for her or anyone else who has need to be there as a representative of another.
But that is something that I have to decide.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's something that I have to decide.
And how in your right mind can you...
Homeowners Association president. I beg your pardon?
How in your
right
mind...
You're talking
you
over what I'm saying. You're talking over what I'm saying. And you're not
saying,
letting me finish.
You're saying that there's a gate.
We have a gated community. Yes.
Uh-huh.
You think the death of this child is funny, not me. I'm the one that is saying that she is required at our meeting. And when you say that a child died from SIDS, you are saying that it's 50-50. The child either died from SIDS or has...
It's not your place to call
child.
It, though. Don't you see that? It's not your place to call that. And if this is your friend,
no, don't
this
you
is
see
person in your community,
it is my place.
Are you a forensic person? Is
Let
that
me
your
ask
profession?
You, if someone murdered their child and you said, oh, that poor lady, and you found out later... But the child was murdered, you'd look like an ass, wouldn't you? You would.
I'd rather look at the sympathetic person that gave the benefit of the doubt than to think that I have a murderer living in my subdivision. Yeah,
but
you're right.
I'd rather look that way, yes.
But the lady's missing the point. My wife hasn't been. She can't afford to look stupid like this lady can. She's got to be right about it.
Well, she's looking more stupid
exactly.
now, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, to you, but you don't even know what a gated community is. So
I don't think. I think if you hear the calls, you would realize it. Really, she should not take that.
I've
side.
Never been one. I've really never been one to go along with the crowd. Maybe you are, but I go with the truth.
I have never would have encountered.
Well, I think most people in my position would have acted the same way, whether they're a man or a woman. And I don't think you understand.
You don't understand what my wife's got to do and everything.
All right. Chris, thank you very much for your call. I think your points were very well made. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're taking phone calls here for Bobby and Steve Dooley on this woman who lost her son and went on Twitter to talk about it, and Ms. Dooley saying that they had a similar situation at the Homeowners Association for She Works. A woman lost her child to SIDS. Bobby feels that SIDS... may be an excuse for a lot of parents who have actually killed their kids, so she didn't want to seem overly solicitous and wanted that woman at a homeowners meeting that they were planning.
Well, you know, you're putting a lot of words into my mouth.
No, I don't think I am. I think that's exactly what you said. You said you didn't want to seem overly solicitous.
I said I didn't want to look like most of these people would have looked. Oh, I'm so sorry your child died. And then a week later the police say, we found the child with a belt around its neck. And then you feel really stupid.
I don't know that is the first reaction. 877-876-PHIL. Matt, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Phil, I've never called the show before, but Mrs. Dooley, you've just made me absolutely sick to my stomach listening to what you have to say. And you're the most self-centered person I've ever heard in my life. All you talk about is your concern and how you feel. You don't look stupid. Are you serious? I mean, what planet
do you... Well, are you serious? Are you telling me parents don't kill their children?
Yeah, innocent until proven guilty. Where do you live? Innocent until proven guilty. Are you serious?
I live in a gated community where we
you
have
do, and you're not coming to reality. You live in a gated community with a gated mind, and you're not
and
strong.
And what if they find out that the woman did murder her? What if they find out that they murdered this
child? What if? Listen to you. What if? Are you serious? You're going to accuse her of murder?
And
you're
and
disgusting.
Then Matt,
you are
stupid.
A disgusting human being. You
that
are
is,
sick. You honestly are. You have to do a lot of thinking on your... You have to reflect and think about...
We have a man insulting a woman. Big deal. Oh, wow.
That's not
what?
A man insulting a woman. This gentleman...
No, this is just another man insulting a woman.
I'm insulting what you're saying. It's absurd to me. I can't believe it, man or woman. I'll tell your husband.
Well, why don't you stop with your insults and tell me what it is exactly I said that you find so offensive. I said it's a 50-50 chance that she murdered the child.
You said this woman's a friend of yours, and yet you give it 50-50 that she murdered her own child. And the real reason is you need her at a meeting.
I do need her at the meeting, but I would be willing to give her the benefit of the doubt if the child had fallen out of the car or something like that. But no, it didn't. It was laying in a crib, apparently unmarked. I don't know.
All right. Wow. Matt, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Debbie on the Phil Henry Show. Debbie, go ahead. You're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, thank you very much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't call talk shows either, but hearing this lady, Ms. Dooley. Ms. Dooley, please, if I have the forum now, if you'll let me speak, you've had your chance.
Please let me talk.
I have a very short word. Yeah, you're talking
now.
Let me talk, please. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, you're neither God nor judge nor jury. You do not have any authority to decide whether or not this person has a guilty or not guilty or anything. You have no reason to even try to justify the death of her child in any way. The fact is, as Homeowners Association president, I would fire you for one thing. You took upon yourself to doubt someone. You had no choice. There was no reason in your life that you should doubt this woman. The fact is, her child is dead, period. It has no... I didn't ask you a question.
There's a
it's
lot
my
about
turn.
This woman
it's
that
my
needs
turn.
To come out.
You said,
let the lady speak.
I heard you chastising a lady for talking over you. You are talking over me. I'm talking.
Me
I have not asked you any questions.
She's telling me my job.
I'm making my point. You've made yours. Now, again, my turn.
You have chastised
a woman for... You made up something in your own head. You tried her, you judged her, and you decided that she was not worthy of being able to grieve for this child. It is not your place.
No.
You do not know how to make a person
wrong.
Grieve or stop them from grieving or create their grieving process. A person grieves in certain ways, and it's different for everyone. You do not have the choice to tell somebody they cannot grieve. You cannot.
Isn't that so Oprah?
You do not
so
have
all
the right.
Now, Bobby.
You do not have the right to take a person and choose whether you decided that they are guilty or not. It doesn't matter how this child died. The child is dead. The woman has to deal with that. It doesn't matter how the child died.
I bet you feel like a real big man rather than a woman.
It doesn't matter how the child died. You have taken upon yourself a duty that is not part of your job. It's not your job to judge this woman, and you are talking over me.
If she murdered her daughter, no, you're talking over me.
No, you don't have that choice. You cannot make that choice.
You think it makes you feel like a big man to yell at me. I've been listening to
this forever. No, I'm not yelling at you.
Bobby, you're going, mm-hmm.
Well, she's with a homeowners association.
If you were my homeowners association, I would let you go. I would say you need to go to some loony bin because you are not a decent human being. You do not have
too much power for that.
Well, Bobby, you are interrupting this lady. She's been trying to make her point.
I haven't said a word.
You've been going, and then you said it makes her feel like a big man. You're talking to a woman.
Oh, really? I'm glad you clarified that because she's coming on like a man.
You haven't been quiet enough to listen.
I've listened to
you. Haven't let anyone talk. You have talked over every single body on this show. You have talked over every single person, not allowed them to get their point in. You haven't given them a place to rebut.
You've sound like one of those women that wants to bring other women down.
Bobby,
let me jump in. Let me see if I can't. Let me ask a question here, Debbie. Bobby, what is it?
Can I talk now?
No, I'm asking a question. What is it about a woman saying, my child died, and I'd like to take some time. I can't make this meeting. Why can't you just let that woman do that?
Have you ever heard the phrase, screw the pooch?
Come on, man. I mean, that's something that men say when they're just, screwing off on the job.
Well, how do I know she's not doing that? How do I know?
If she tells you that her
child. What is wrong with you, lady? What is the? What is really?
I don't doubt.
Do you?
Can I ask you a question, Phil? Mr. Henry, is the host there?
Because if you don't,
is the
you might need
there?
To.
Is the host there?
Yes,
you
I'm here.
In a gated community. You are obviously, you've got some self-righteous, pious,
you know,
superiority complex that you think that you are above people to allow them a moment to grieve. It doesn't matter.
You know, you know what your problem is? Your problem is you don't live in a gated community like I do.
Okay.
All right. Scenario. She fell out of a car, maybe?
And I'm supposed to feel sorry for a woman that pushed her child out of a car.
She didn't push her kid out of a car. You said the kid died from SIDS, right? Is that what she said?
She said yes, but if she had murdered the child, am I supposed to be happy to see her come to the meeting? I guess Debbie here would want me to see her come to the meeting if she just put a bag over her kid and run it over with an SUV.
It's not your
run it over. All right, Debbie, thank you very much. I believe it's Debbie Ray. Thank you, Debbie Ray, for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Debbie Ray.
That's the lady's name.
Yeah, her, Debbie Ray.
Oh, that's... Talk about ostentation.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley on The Phil Henry Show talking about the mother that tweeted following the death of her child. The Phil Henry Show.
Debbie Ray.
Phil Henry.
I heard of Johnny Ray.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We're back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. You talk to, and we'll be back with more phone calls at 877-876-PHIL. We're with Bobby and Steve Dooley. The story here about a Florida mother who tweets after her son's death. People thought that was inappropriate. You agree with that, Bobby, and the woman who lost a baby at your homeowners association. You had a discussion with Miss Johansson, correct?
Well, I've had a lot of discussions with her, Phil.
Well, the one where you were talking about this connection?
Well, Phil, first of all, you have to understand, you're not a mother, and I know that you were a parent, but you're not a woman. We carry those children for 9 months. We know everything about what it is and everything. An infant you haven't known for that long, you just got to know this living being. So you're not as attached to it as you would be a 7 or an 8 or a 9-year-old. Yes, you gave birth to it. Yes, there it is. And yes, physical things happen like lactation. But there isn't that real strong connection. So when she said to me, I've lost a child, okay?
Yeah.
I made a joke. Steve, you heard it. I said, no, you haven't lost a child. We know where it is. It's in a refrigerated drawer at the coroner's office. And
oh, God. Unbelievable.
And Mr. Henry, excuse me.
Unbelievable thing to say to a woman that just lost a baby.
Excuse me, but you're not a woman. And I said to her, I'm trying to lighten the mood because you know as well as I do. You didn't live with the child for 7 years, and the jury is still out, Phil, on whether she had something to do with its death.
Has there not been an autopsy or anything so we can put this ridiculous notion of yours to rest?
I'm sorry, but the coroner doesn't work on your schedule. All right?
He'll open that drawer when he gets to it.
Stop it.
Oh, you know what, Mr. Dooley? Your jokes are not funny, and since you're not a woman either, like I'm not a woman, I guess we couldn't be, we're not supposed to comment on this, according to your wife. 877-876-PHIL. I'd have very little time to get to a call here. We're going to go into another hour. I've got about 40 seconds, and I just don't want to go to another phone call. We'll go to another hour here. 877-876-PHIL is our number. The situation here, by the way, with the woman tweeting in Florida after the, I believe it was in Florida. Yes, it was in Florida. Is that she was grieving for the loss of her son or was very, very worried about this child's well-being. But nonetheless, the baby died and she is on Twitter. And a lot of people found fault with that. Ms. Dooley is saying that all she did was jam up the news feed and try to get Alyssa Milano's attention or something like that.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
That is so wrong.